Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hi, I am Yaya today, and I'm not in the greatest of headspaces, but I am joined by Mr. Dwayne Brown on the DNVR Rapids podcast.
Hi, I'm in a great headspace. Let's talk about soccer, shall we?
I'm like, I won't be honest with you, man. Like, I'm in a good mood. It's not my mood. It's not who I am. I'm a great guy. I know this.
It's but true.
I'm
on
a
shit
headspace. I'm on a shit headspace right now. And I'm like all over the place. I'm thinking about like 40 different things that have not happened yet.
Well, let's just think about soccer. Take a break. Think about soccer. We got our pals listening and watching. Talk about soccer.
Before we get any further, how are you doing today, Dwayne?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good today. I'm not sick. I've moved past all of that. Good things are happening for the men's national team, the women's national team. We got an interesting game coming up for the Rapids on Saturday. There's a lot going on soccer-wise.
Yeah, I mean, Dwayne kind of recapped it, man. Today, we're kind of going to jump around a little bit more. We're going to get into Moise being back in the team. We're going to talk about the USA win, the women's roster. We're also going to get into a conversation if it's time to panic for the Colorado Rapids 5 games in. With 29 games left, is it time to panic? And then in the last segment, we're going to get a little bit into the LAFC game and why I'm so pissed off about this LAFC game and why the MLS fucking sucks.
Wow.
But that's going to be later on today.
So
please keep tuned. If I get fired after this show, it's just because of my headspace, and it's going to be I said something I regret immediately. But it's fine. I'm gonna try to keep it a little bit more DL today. First off, let's just get into some little quick Rapids news. Moise is back with the team. I don't think that's gonna make much of a difference, if I'm honest. I like Moise. I think he's been the best player so far. But I thought Lalas did really well on Saturday as well. I don't think there was a huge drop off. But it is good to have your best player back on the team.
I think Lalas did a great job holding it down. I do think Bombi coming back is maybe more needed than we think.
No, of course.
And we'll talk about that in the preview. But
of course,
on some of the stats, especially from last weekend's game between LAFC and Nashville, and even just in their beginning of their season so far. And defense is going to be very important on Saturday. So I'm happy to see that Bombi's back. We're certainly going to need him. And it's great to know that after seeing on Saturday that when we need him, Lalas is still Lalas, and it can still lock it down. So good things on both sides there.
Yeah, again, not to knock on – I'm not trying to knock on Bombi.
For sure.
I'm just saying, like, this past weekend, I don't think it was a huge drop-off. Going forward, of course, is going to be something that we got to keep an eye out, right? Bombi.
Yep.
Bombi and Buonga is going to be a fun little matchup there.
Whew.
Other news is Bombi's center back pairing, Maksu, wearing a mask because he got knocked the F out on Saturday. How do you feel about that, Dwayne?
About the mask or about the
both
the penalty that wasn't
both
or whistle that wasn't not really penalty. I've watched some other folks from other podcasts cover why the referee did not blow the whistle. The Rapids were in advantage at that point. If they had blown the whistle while it Rapids still had the ball, the fans would have gone bananas. And I think that's a solid point. But I think even with Rapids at advantage, when you've got a guy down with a potential head injury, I know this is soccer where almost every time a player goes down, it's fake. But when someone is holding their head, you have to pay attention a little bit more to that than someone grabbing their ankle or shin as they do and roll around. So hindsight is 20/20, but I think when you've got a potential head injury, you got to blow the whistle regardless of who has possession of the ball at that point. I think it was a big mistake by the referee. I'm not saying that's why the Rapids lost,
of course,
you know, and gave up that point, but it's unfortunate. It sucks that this was the situation to start the season with replacement refs. I think, you know, you look at both the Players Association, you look at the fans, you look at everybody other than MLS top office execs, and no one was happy with the replacement refs. So I think it's chalked up to that. You know, it sucks. Obviously, yeah, I feel bad for Max Su, which looking like a broken nose. Now he gets the mask. And
Max Su does become a little bit more vindicated, right, with him actually yes. coming out with a real injury, a real actual thing that could affect his play time this year.
Sure.
And it should have been a penalty because arms are flailing. It's always – and then even after the goal, you should go back and check. That's what VAR's for. VAR always comes back. Hey, if it's a penalty, you got to make sure it's a penalty.
Yep.
And that didn't even happen. And that's the frustrating part with this whole thing, right? Now Max Su has to wear his Batman mask out there on the pitch. I hope it's a Batman. I hope it's a black one.
I think it's a clear one, but we'll sucks. See.
See, black one makes him look like Batman. Clear yeah. one makes him look like a serial killer.
Yeah, I want like a silver one that's like a mirror so that the sun gets into the attacking side's eyes.
A burgundy one would be dope.
Yeah, I thought about, I actually looked on Amazon last night to see about getting bulk masks. I think it'd be cool if like C38 went and just bought some cheap Halloween masks.
Yep.
You know, just to cover the eyes, just to support Max Su. I think that would be really cool. But I don't know. Face, you know, for lack of a better word, casts. You can't put a cast on your face.
Yep.
So anytime there's like you know, some kind of face injury, regardless of sport, you know, whether it's, you know, you see it a lot in basketball, but now, you know, we'll see it with Max Su here in for the Rapids. They're always kind of cool. Like, it sucks that you have to wear it because it's an injury and you broke your face, but they're pretty cool. Yeah. A little intimidating looking.
100%. So. Shout out Mile High Hotspur in the comments. Big up, homies. Tough match, but it was dope to be at the stadium and vibing with the locals. Man, at the end of it, whether it's a loss or a win, one thing is, it's with the Rapids, it's about the friends you made along the way, right? It's always going to be that. It's never going to be about how great of a club you are. It's about how much fun you had being mad and how much fun you had being friends with other people
sure.
at the stadium. That's what it's been, what, for the last, how old are they, 28 years?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's more of that than trophies, obviously. But shout out to Locos and C38. You know, obviously, we haven't had a lot of home games yet, but I've been impressed with C38. I feel like they've really started the season strong, you know, especially after last year, the way the season ended. They've been out in force. Like, TIFOs have been great. Like, they've been loud. I thought they've really started the year strong.
Does it feel a little bit like a movement to try to get Rapids energy back in there?
I think that's a good question. I have noticed, like, I don't know. I just feel like the energy, and maybe it's because the off season was strong, you know, mm-hmm. Where we were making moves, and so there's more excitement. But I do feel like, you know, there's I've talked to a lot of guys from C38, talked to Dave and Trevor and, you know, and just a lot of guys, you know, talking about some other stuff, like with merch and stuff. But also just kind of the general feeling is that they're coming out hard this year, and I think they've done a nice job. I've enjoyed it. I'll be there on Saturday. I'm bringing my daughter. This will be her first Rapids game for the season. She always hums along if she knows the words. She sings along with C38, the ones that I allow her to sing.
Yeah, she's not out there singing about weed and beer, unfortunately.
So, are safe for her to sing, she sings along. And it's, you know, I mean, as a 9-year-old who doesn't really get it yet, she looks towards it, because we sit in 123 with our friends. Like, she knows that that's where the action and the songs and the chants come from. Like, and I think that's cool, you know, for the younger generation to see, like, this is the group that is trying to lead the movement in the stands. So,
yeah, again,
it's pretty cool.
I mean, the Rapids issue has never been the fans, right? People show up, people support the team, people are passionate about the team. It's always been about their thoughts on the pitch.
Yep.
So shout out T38 for that. One thing I do want to get into real quick before we get into the U.S. national team.
Mm-hmm.
Two things real quick. Thoughts on the MLS referees being back and no longer having these awful, awful calls that have benefited the Rapids in so many ways.
It's good. I don't want to get too much into numbers and the agreement and everything. You can find that online.
We're also not a numbers podcast.
Yeah, I'm not a numbers guy, but I'll do read it because it helps me understand a little bit. But if you've not looked into the details of the new agreement, it's all money, right? And the money, depending on if you're looking at assistant refs versus, you know, full refs and then moving up the chain from, starters on up to senior, there is a significant pay raise. If you go and look at the numbers, I mean, you're looking at big percentages of raises, which is very cool for the refs. So again, you can go find those numbers. There's a great article in The Athletic, if you read that, that really breaks it down and will show you the charts of who gets how much of a raise and what percentage. Another part of that is, you know, we heard at the beginning of this is the thing with the flights flying first class or not first class. One thing that the referees did get was per game, they got $1,350 match fee, right?
Yep.
So they use that to, I assume, cover their travel. That's been bumped up to $1,500. I spent a decade traveling. That was my job at the time in the 2000s. One, like, I hardly ever flew first class. I don't need to. Like, I don't know. I thought that was kind of a ridiculous ask. I think pay raises are totally, like, a totally normal request, and they should get that, especially looking at how much they used to get paid, especially, like, these beginning assistant refs. But things like this, man, I don't know. That just, to me, it's asking for some frivolous things, but they did get a little bit more, so now they've got $1,500. The other additional thing with that is they used to only get it for games that they reffed in. So that means if they got injured and they couldn't ref anymore that season, they no longer got that game stipend, you know, match fee. Now in the new agreement, they're guaranteed, I think, 15 are guaranteed, so they have that money either way. So that's pretty cool too, to cover some of the injuries that the referees might get. So
that's
again,
a part that's
so
necessary,
it's
right?
Money.
It's money. Like, that's fine, man. I'm always for people getting security in their job. It's the minimum we can do, right? When they're out there actually doing things. One other thing I really wanted to get into, and I agree with you the whole other way. I think the refs being back, it's going to be great. It's going to make for cleaner games.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I'm glad it happened.
It's never going to be something that you're going to be upset about, right? You're just like, cool, it's going to be fun. One other thing I really, really do want to get into that I'm pissed off about, it's the MLS schedule. I'm pissed off about it. I have no idea why they play their games on Saturdays afternoons. Okay, I kind of get it because of the Premier League. Mm-hmm. But you should move your games to Friday mornings and have your primetime game be in the afternoon.
For MLS?
For MLS. You should.
Fridays?
Friday afternoons or Saturday mornings.
People have to work, dude.
Or Saturday mornings. Do Saturday mornings and do a primetime games on Saturday mornings. All your games should be slated in the morning. Stop worrying about every other league. Just do you. And have your primetime game be in the afternoon. Put as many eyes as you can on your primetime games, your key clubs, things that you want to do. I don't understand why they play every game in the afternoon when people are trying to go out or trying to do some things. You lose fan bases.
It's not afternoon or morning. You're saying to stagger it out more.
Exactly. Like, okay. They just
play. I'm like, dude, I would not go to a morning game.
No, I'm talking about like 2 o'clock.
You're just saying all MLS schedules with, and given this is not just MLS, this is Apple having a very heavy hand in this.
Yeah, of course.
Scheduling all of their games either all at night or all in the afternoon, like all the same time.
Exactly.
And totally agree.
It should be like
now that I understand.
Yeah, you get a lot. You should be able to get a lot more games in the morning and the like mid afternoon. And games should start around 11 o'clock, and then your second slate should be around 2 o'clock.
Like NFL, basically.
Yeah, that's what it should be. Like that's how more people watch these games. More people would be interested in this, but it makes it so dumb because you're trying to go in a. You're trying to compete with the Premier League because you're like, oh, they have their games in the morning. Their latest game is like at 11. And if it's Rapids versus Earthquakes, people are not watching anyways at 7:30 at night. Right? You're totally. Not going to get a national fan base anyways. So why not just make your premier matchups, the ones that you really want to highlight in the afternoon, and keep the morning for soccer, for the other teams. It's so dumb that they play everything in the afternoon. I don't get it. I think it's stupid. No, nothing against the wrap-up show, but I also think the wrap-up show has not been what has been promised. I don't think it's something that has to happen, honestly. And you can still do the wrap-up show like the NFL does Red Zone every Saturday morning. Totally. It's not a huge deal. Like, and you can get so many more things done.
I would love to have the schedule spread out. Even if it's just on Saturday. I mean, I would like to see Saturday and Sunday. Personally, Friday doesn't do it for me because I got work, dude. Like,
I'm cool with Friday. I'm cool with Friday night, but it has to be.
Sure, a Friday night game. Yeah.
And again, I misspoke Friday. Like, I'm thinking about my own schedule that I just don't care. I forget people have real jobs and I just talk onto a mic for a living. But I think it's really stupid. That the MLS does not take advantage of a full day constantly. Yeah. And then they showcase their top games in the afternoon like every other league does.
I think you could have a full day of games that goes from late morning through, you know, it would be late for us, late for East Coast for those West Coast games. But that's fine. You have West Coast games start at 7 p.m. Yes, that's really late on the East Coast. Well, too bad. That's why you follow East Coast team if you live there. You know.
And like, wouldn't it make it easier for both coasts to be locked in? Because, like, it's early morning. Let's say the game starts at 11.
When you have a full day.
Exactly.
Of but soccer.
It starts at 11 out here in the West Coast, out here in this time difference. Then you go to 11. It's 1 o'clock out there in New England, whoever lives out there.
Yeah.
But, like, you New can Englanders. Still watch. Very little people watch. But now you can watch a full slate of soccer instead of having to be up till like 9 o'clock at night when your game starts in the when a game
and
starts
you have to
in the
choose
coast.
Which game you want to watch.
And then you got to choose between like 4 or 5 different ones. And it's like, this is stupid. Why am I doing this?
I agree. I think most people would agree with you.
I think that's my hottest take. That's my most pissed off take because we had that.
It's a good take.
We had that Seattle game a couple weeks ago in the morning. And then we have this one in the LAFC at 2 p.m. And I'm just like, this is what it should always be. You should play early games, like starting from 11, because how I said, the latest Premier League game is like at 11, I think, too.
Yeah.
And even then, like, you're never going to compete with them regardless. It's only going to be a few games that you're competing with, and then your second slate takes over.
I love having some afternoon games mixed in. As a parent, the late games sometimes don't work, especially when you have little ones. Teenager stuff doesn't matter as much, but when you got real little ones, like, you can't take them to a game that starts at 7:30 and isn't going to end until 9.
Dude, and then there we are, and, like, there's a selfish take, but, like, also there we are at 11 p.m. shout out all of you guys trying to go to bed,
like, stay doing up a post game
talking soccer, and then we are pissed, and then we can't go to bed for the next 2 hours because I'm like, fuck this game. It's stupid. Like, I don't get it. And that's everybody. And I'm sure this is everybody, not just that covers the team, but everybody that follows an MLS team. You're up till like midnight, 1 o'clock, just pissed off about the shit that just happened.
Or celebrating.
Exactly. And it's like, you can't even properly celebrate because it's already so late.
Yeah, it's pretty late.
It's dumb. I hate it. It should be, you should have at least 4 hours of either gloating or being pissed off the game after the game. And you can never do that because the game's so late.
I think everyone but MLS execs, owners, and Apple execs agree with you. I think you have the masses behind you, Yaya.
Dude, I'm ready to run for president, man. Aaron Rodgers hit me up, dude. One other thing we're going to get here in the first segment before we hit a quick ad break. It's the USMNT once again dominated Mexico. And they've won every Nations League final for the last three iterations.
Since it's existed, yeah. 6 years, three trophies.
Yeah. It's an insane thing that's happening. Dwayne had a very strong take about this, and I want to get to that first. what's your take on this, Dwayne? I think you deserve to go off.
Well, I think the thing that we disagree on is that, and it might just be words, but I think as far as CONCACAF goes, like, U.S. men's national team owns CONCACAF. You disagree with that. But I think you look at...
And I think it's worth a word choice.
Nations League, you look at who's won it every time it's existed. It's U.S. men's national team every time. When it gets to the final, when it comes time to show up and get the trophy, the U.S. does it. That doesn't mean that they don't have bad games. Jamaica, bad game. But a couple of bad games, they're still winning it when it matters. And to me, they are the top dog in CONCACAF right now. They own CONCACAF right now. I think what's important to remember is that doesn't really show you a whole bunch about what this team is capable of, because it is CONCACAF, right? And I think that's where looking at Copa America coming up and potentially playing against teams like Brazil, we start those types of competitions, I think, are where we really need to pay attention, because that's where we're playing like competition that is much higher. And as we are looking at 2026 World Cup, like, we need to see how good we are as a club. Not just really, really sweet shots from 35 yards out the other night, you know, seeing individual performances, but we need to know how good the club is against really, really, really high caliber competition. And as much as we tend to, you know, win CONCACAF, you know, every time so far, we're only seeing CONCACAF, you know, and that's where I think Copa America is going to be critical to seeing where we are, to being able to evaluate the club moving on. People love Berhalter. People hate Berhalter. You know, people who love him say, look at all he's winning right now. And I'm just like, well, it's CONCACAF, you know, but let's see how it looks versus, you know, let's see if we get out of that first round in Copa America, and then we might be playing the likes of teams like Brazil, things like that. And that's what I want to see, you know, moving forward to get a good read on this squad.
See, in this where I disagree with you. I think the U.S. owns Mexico. I think they do. I think they're better than Mexico, but I don't think they own CONCACAF. And I'm not just going based off the Jamaica game. I'm going based off the World Cup qualifiers. They didn't even win that either. They weren't even first place on that. They kind of scraped it into the World Cup qualifiers a couple years ago. Gold Cup, they bowed out to Panama. Granted, it was their C team. And how you said, Jamaica, they had a really bad game, and they kind of lay an egg out constantly against other teams that's not Mexico. And that's kind of, you saw it against Canada too a few years, I think last year in Gold Cup. I think the U.S. is really good. I think USMNT team is the best team in CONCACAF. I don't think they own CONCACAF because they don't dominate every competition, because they don't just blatantly run the table like Mexico did back in the 90s and early 2000s. That's why I think the USMNT is the best team, and it's not even close. I don't think there's anybody near him. But I also do think that there's a level of not being able to concentrate enough on CONCACAF competitions unless it's against Mexico, unless they're facing, like, a big squad. And I think it's a rivalry, right? Like, Americans fight rivalries a lot more than Mexicans, I feel. I feel like they're more heated about that kind of thing. But I do think that the USMNT team is really good. And I think you're right. They're more comparable to maybe Uruguay. I think that's where they're more at closer to. I think they're more of a, let's say, a little bit lower tier than Netherlands and Belgium, but not by too much. They're more on that playing field.
Well, they lost to Netherlands.
Yeah, but it wasn't that bad. But it's like right talent-wise, they're kind of right there on that playing field, right? But how I said, I don't think they own CONCACAF for that one reason, that they don't constantly dominate other opponents. They constantly dominate Mexico. So I think they own Mexico. I think they're the best CONCACAF team, though. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like,
and I'm still going to go with own it.
But no, and again, this is why
we podcasting don't get to say it very often, so.
That's why podcasting's great, right? Like, and again, I agree with doing, like, and Kevin says it in the chat. The future is going to be the U.S. versus Canada because Mexico doesn't take this seriously anymore. They just don't. And you saw it with their best player, Santi Jimenez, called him out, and he's like, hey, this is bullshit. No professionals on the squad. There's an issue here.
Yeah.
And everybody can see it. It's blatant, and it just sucks, right? And that's why I personally agree about 80% with you, but not 100%.
I'll take it.
Not 100% because there's a lot of flailing around from the USMNT squad at times. And I feel that needs to be that little extra push for them to own the whole region. But they are better. They can dominate a team whenever they want.
Yeah, and I don't think there would be those losses if they were constantly starting their A squad.
But also part of it, though. Like, you have to, like, bring in a good squad. Even if it's, like, a mixture of C and B players and maybe an A or two. Like, that's part of the domination. Yeah, but
I don't think they're going to lose some of those games if they're starting their, you know, their top squad.
I mean, they started.
And that's where it's like,
they started their top squad in qualifiers a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And they still couldn't get it. Canada topped both Mexico and the U.S. This is not even me defending Mexico. This is just me, like, talking in general.
No, you're not wrong.
Yeah, like, this, I'm just trying to get that out there, that I do think the U.S. is a great team. They are the best team in CONCACAF, and probably Canada right behind them. But I don't think they need a couple more years of winning everything for them to dominate, to be owners of CONCACAF. And you wanted to get to a little bit, women's team was announced as well.
Yeah, just quick news, not super deep, but if you're not aware, U.S. Women's National Team released their roster for She Believes Cup. Really, really good news from the Colorado front. Mallory Swanson is back with the team, so we'll be able to see her most likely starting with the squad. But I think this is a tournament where we've had some transition, right? And we've seen the rest of the world in women's soccer starting to catch up with the U.S. or have caught up. It's not even starting to. The rest of the world has caught up to the U.S. The U.S. has had a lot of legends that are have retired now. Some of them are in the twilight of their careers. And so now you see this infusion of youth. And if you go through and you look at this roster, it is filled with really, really exciting young players and some returners like Mallory Swanson. But I think, and we'll dive into this later once She Believes Cup starts, but I think we're going to see some of the most fun offensive talent we've seen in a while from the women's team, looking at some of these players, depending on who gets to play and who starts, but some really interesting ones that we haven't even talked about yet that I'm still learning about. One particularly from the Netherlands, from my home state of Virginia, but she's been living in Netherlands. She hasn't chosen whether or not she's going to go full USA or Netherlands.
I love those people that can't choose, man. They're the best.
So maybe she's on the roster. Maybe we'll see. Her name's Lily Johannes. Maybe we see her play. The key is she's only 16 years old, so she's got a lot of soccer competition left, years-wise. So maybe we see her play some minutes in She Believes Cup. But interesting stuff. If you haven't gone through, go through, hit that roster. It's pretty cool to see some of the offensive young talent that we get to see come in, which is really neat.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of thoughts on the women's team, if I'm honest. Mostly because I don't follow them that closely. I am excited for Mallory Swanson, though.
It's so good to see her back.
It's great, man. I'm happy that she was able to recover.
Team Colorado, man. Like,
they dominate that national team. I think second or most. I think second most people on that team.
I'm not sure, but I know when you're looking at goals and things that are happening, it's almost always coming from Lindsey Horan or Sophia Smith, and now Mallory Swanson's back. It's just an awesome time to see so many Colorado players not just being a part of the national team, but like being a major part. We don't get to see that with the men's team very often. So seeing it with the women's team, super cool.
We went a little bit longer on this first segment. We're halfway through the show. It's fine. We're okay. Not a big issue.
Welcome to halfway through the show.
But when we get back from this quick little break, we're going to talk about is it time for the Rapids to panic 5 games in? And what's going on with LAFC and what our thoughts are for this game this weekend at 2 p.m., the right time that every game should be played. And we'll be back right after this small break. And we're back. I did my best Mitch impersonation. I tried to get some shirts during that break and just be Mitch. It didn't work out that great for me. But we're going to – the Rapids have lost 2 games, have won 1, and drawn 1. I bring up the 2 losses first because they're heartbreaking losses.
Mm-hmm.
They're 2 losses that really hurt. Most losses do, right? Like – but sure. These kind of have a little bit of extra sting. And when we started the season, and not just us, but The Athletic this morning dropped this article with Paterino, where they said a lot of GMs voted that yearly GM vote. And one of the things was that the Rapids had the best offseason of any MLS team. A lot of people were excited about this. A lot of people were, yeah, like this is exactly what the Rapids brought. Like, they're trying to be more talented. They're trying to be a better team. 5 games in, I do think they're a better team. But there's very obvious glaring issues with this team.
Sure.
And one of them has to be Rafa for not scoring an open play goal yet. And the other one is Chris Armas the right guy for this team? So I'm going to ask you, Dwayne. Is it time to panic as a Colorado Rapids fan? Not the front office. If you're a fan, is it time to panic?
No. It's not time to panic yet. Again, we're 5 games in, folks. It's a long season. I don't even know where we're at in the standings or the table right now.
10th with 5 points. We're averaging
10th. Okay.
Five games in,
we're a spot out of the playoffs.
We're averaging a point a game right now.
Yeah.
Not we, but the team is.
To me, that's not panic time. If we were 0-5 right now, yeah, I would be a lot more concerned. But sitting at 10th right now, where there's, again, it's early in the season, there's not a lot of points separating that mid-group. It's not panic time right now. Are there things to worry about? Yes. Mm-hmm. There are absolutely issues to worry about. You brought up one already, which is our striker situation. I am very much hoping that the Rapids front office is currently scouting strikers.
I'm sure they have like a bag already.
Yeah,
they have a list.
I really hope that they are, because this offense is not it right now. I know we're only 5 games in, but I keep hearing the message of, and the funny thing is I'm not just hearing it from coach, or from the club, but I'm hearing it from fans on Twitter too, is that the goals will come. The goals will come. Well, it's only five games in, but every one-point game versus 3 points is going to add up in the wrong direction over time, and it's going to put us on the wrong side of the playoffs instead of the right side if we don't start scoring goals. We can't continue to cross our fingers and say the goals will come. Something has to be done where there is a purposeful approach to getting Georgie more involved. He's a DP that has not scored any goals. I'm not sure if he has any assists yet. You know, we were talking earlier in the off season that about breaking the assists record. And those things are not happening with Georgie yet. Maybe some of that is on Georgie. Probably a lot of that is on getting the ball to him. The same thing could be said with Rafa. But we've had several games last season, and now we're five games into the season. And aside from PKs, we're not seeing any goals from our guy who's supposed to be the striker, whose sole purpose is to score goals, you know. And that's not a I don't like Rafa thing. It's a I don't care who's at the nine, but whoever's at the nine needs to be putting the ball in the net. It's cool if you can make some plays, but right now no one's making any plays. Like, this is another squad that's not scoring goals. And that's looking at the players. I think there's some Armas stuff as well, but I want to turn it back to you to get in on that.
To play devil's advocate, there's a little bit of panic, right? And the panic has to be...
Sure, like, I mean, look at Twitter after the game the other night.
My thing is, maybe it's not panic, press the panic button, but you're at least looking at it. And I'm not looking at it if you're Mihailovic, I'm not looking at it if you're Sam Vines. But if you're Chris Armas, you might be starting to look at that panic button a little bit more.
Sure.
Because you only have a 1-1 deal. Averaging a point a game is going to get you 34 points. That's not a playoff team. You need about 45 to, let's say, 48 to get into the playoffs. Let's say play-in around there, kind of. That's the biggest issue. Rapids have not played bad, but they also haven't gotten the results that they, I feel, deserve of how they played. And it comes down, how you said, to Rafa not scoring.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to not being able to get as many goals, but that's been the whole thing with the Rapids for the last, 8 years? That they can't score? And you brought up a really good point to me maybe a couple of days ago on Monday, I believe, where you said Porig hasn't been a great evaluator of offensive talent since he got to the Rapids. Yeah. And I'm not saying that he can't find the right guy or he will never be able to, but so far he has a track record of being able to find great center backs, mm-hmm. being able to find a six that has become a staple in this franchise in Jack Price, and 110/9 in Diego Rubio, who had a great season, but besides that was kind of average.
And homegrowns too, like...
But even the homegrown.
Helping develop that.
Yeah, they've developed like Ollie LaRoz, but Yappy still hasn't shown who he is.
Bassett and Sam Vines.
Even then, what has Bassett done? Like, I love Bassett. I think Bassett's a great player, but like.
Well, I'm just saying, evaluating talent.
Oh, yeah, of course.
At those positions, bringing them up through the system.
Yeah, of course. Like, he's done a great job of that. And I do think there's going to be a shift here pretty soon because I think Mihailovic is a guy that. It's going to be an offensive talent that it's going to go down on a positive note for Porig. I believe Kamani Stewart-Bates is going to be in that same vein. And I feel that Calvin Harris or Omir, depending how you look at it, is going to be one of those guys that give Porig another positive tally. But it's been 8 years of this where offensively you just kind of have nothing, right? You kind of struggle to score. You're always at the bottom of the league when it comes to goal scored. But you're always at the bottom of the league with goals conceded too, besides last year. So it comes down to a lot of it's not time to panic, but it is time to reevaluate. You have to reevaluate because 5 games in, you expected to see a different outcome some of these games, and there's some major mistakes to be happened. And reevaluate could mean maybe a new tactic, maybe a new formation, maybe a new, some other players starting, maybe trying to get some a spark in there. And I think you have to let go of the DP designation with Rafa and maybe give him less minutes because you did it with Cabral. And if that happens, that's your fault because, you know what, he hasn't lived up to what he should be. Either has Cabral, and that means you brought in 2 bad DPs.
And that's why you do a loan versus throwing the cash out right away.
Exactly.
For everyone who's mad about that, that's why you do it, is so that we're not sitting on a bunch of money for a guy who's not scoring. But, yeah, if we look at Chris Armas, you know, I'm not saying it's anybody's fault. I'm just trying to cover all the bases. Like we talked about players a little bit. Could some of this be on coach? One thing that we were all, you know, the conversation with Chris Armas coming in, aside from all of the negative stuff, like the conversation as far as like tactics go is that we were going to see a Red Bull high press system, right?
Which I'm kind of glad we haven't seen fully.
What if I told you we're not seeing that very much at all?
No, we're not. Like
so, not only that, but it's far more patient on the field than we thought it was going to be. And I think that's where you mentioned maybe it's a formation change. Maybe it's a 4-4-2, right? Mm-hmm. It's the way we're playing is not at the high press that all of us thought we were going to be getting with Red Bull. I mean, this isn't even a diet Red Bull. It's mm-hmm. just not Red Bull press. We're not anywhere near that level. It looks like we are because when you evaluate the current Rapids playing in the offensive zone versus literally any other year from memory, it looks like the Rapids are pressing really, really hard because we're just not used to seeing it. But when you look at Red Bull, when you look at Chris Armas going from Red Bull and then Toronto and then to Rapids, what you will see is a more hesitant and less pressing, you know, tactics decreasing on that press with each club to where it's now at even, you know, less pressing than Toronto was with his time there.
But that's kind of what the Red Bull system has shifted to, if we're honest. Red Bull in general got figured out, and just the whole organization, their whole system, their whole tactics of quick, they've kind of gotten figured out, not just in the U.S., but in Europe as well, and wherever else they have franchises. And it comes down to that, because they press too hard, and they gave up too many goals, and they weren't able to score. So you've seen around the whole Red Bull system that they're not pressing as hard anymore. But the one difference between Red Bull and the Rapids, and I'm talking about every Red Bull team out there that Chris Armas has been a part of, is that they're really good at recovering the ball in the opponent's defensive third. Mm-hmm. And they're really good at capitalizing on those when they do press. And that's the issue the Rapids are having right now, right? They're not recovering the ball in the defensive third. And what they do, it's squandered opportunity after squandered opportunity. You saw it with Rafa when he tipped it a little bit and he almost got to that ball. The ref beat him to it. You saw it a little bit as well when it was that fast break and you had Calvin and then you had Cole and you had Rafa, and Rafa took the horrible shot. And it does come down, it comes down to decision making. It comes down to the players out there on the pitch. So as much as I do feel like Armas could do some things to improve and make the team better, it feels like a lot of it comes down to the team not understanding what they're doing yet.
That's a good point.
It really does feel like they're trying to do what Armas is asking of them. They're trying to get to that final third and get the ball in that final third. But how much can they actually do it? You know? And they haven't shown that they can yet. And it might be just, it takes time. It takes time to learn a whole new system. And we try to look at St. Louis that plays that same style of football. Real quick, fast press. And even they had a full year before they came into the MLS with their full squad training, getting them ready, understanding the tactics for a full year. Remember, Klaus didn't play for a full year because Klaus wanted to really understand what St. Louis was trying to do. So maybe it is just it needs a little bit more time, and then they can get it down. Maybe next year they'll be the juggernaut that we expect them to be or that we hope they are, not sure. Expect them. But maybe it's not panic, but it's definitely time to start looking at the team, start looking at what's going on, reevaluating some of these positions. Why aren't they getting it? The striker being one of the main ones. The eight and the 10 being a couple of the other ones where they're just not getting the ball and being creative enough. And it's really frustrating at some point because you see the skeleton of what they're trying to build. You see the structure.
Yeah.
You can get a little bit excited, but it's still not there. And it really pisses a lot of people off. And I feel like that's where the frustration comes from. Because if you did see if you saw all of this and you got 2 wins, 1 draw, 1 loss, are we feeling any different? 7 points instead of 5? Do you feel better? Or are you feeling kind of like not great?
What if I'm always feeling better with more points.
See, so. And I don't know if I would
because be I think better. We'd be sitting, you know, again, you'd be sitting higher on the table because it is early. Like you can move up and down so quickly at the beginning of the season because the points are few, you know, between every team. So, and that's another reason why I don't think it's time to panic yet.
Yeah, and again, it's only like we're what, 5 games in. We're looking at the standings. They don't matter till mid-July.
Exactly.
Till Leagues Cup is when you really start kind of looking at how many points you can accumulate as long as you just kind of.
But you got to build your base.
Exactly. As long as you just kind of keep pace with everybody else, you're fine.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. Let's say the Rapids do draw with Houston this weekend, but they win against Nashville and you have a 2-1-1 kind of thing. Right, you're 7 points in. I don't think I'd feel any different with how the games have been played. I don't think they've done enough. Like, I'd still be super concerned. I feel like they would be a little bit lucky to be where they are right now, if I'm honest. I feel like they'd be closer to what I expect them to be points-wise, but the performance on the pitch has not been there.
No.
It still hasn't been there, and that's where I think the frustration comes in, and that's why I think panic is a little bit needed because it also hasn't looked polished. Or it hasn't looked lethal in the final third. And that's where the frustration is. Because I'm cool with conceding goals. I don't care about Zach Steffen's clean sheets and all of that. I truly don't. Like, sorry, Zach. Like, if you have a contract negotiation and that's part of it, cool. Like, I hope you get that. But it's not important. What I care about is wins and goals. And you don't get either of them right now. And that's frustrating.
Looking ahead on the panic meter, how panicked are you about Saturday? What's your panic scale at?
You want me to be completely honest with you?
Yes, 100% honesty.
If I'm completely honest with you, this could just be me. This could just be fatigue, but I do not give 2 shits about the result this Saturday. I can't bring myself to care. And I don't know if it's because of the team. I don't know if it's because I'm fatigued. I don't know if it's because I'm frustrated. But I want to win, obviously. I really do. But if they don't get it, I'm not going to be sad. If they do get it, I'm going to be happy. If they draw, I'm just going to be like, yeah, it's the Rapids. What else did you expect? Like, there's nothing for me to be like, hang my hat on right now. LAFC also has had the same problem the Rapids had. Except for last week that they can't score. Like, we love to talk shit about the Rapids, but there's a bunch of teams that can't score right now that have better players, have higher expectations. Seattle and Austin being two of them. LAFC being the other one. If it wasn't for those 5 goals last week, we'd be talking about a team that's struggling as much as the Rapids are. So, to me, it's a pretty even matchup with 2 outliers. One being the Rapids got outscored 4-1, and the other one, the LAFC got scored 5 on who played?
Nashville. Are you talking about this Saturday?
No.
LAFC and Nashville?
Yeah, Nashville. And they scored 5 on Nashville. You take those 2 games out, I feel like you have a pretty even matchup.
I don't feel that this is an even matchup at all.
Really?
No.
What do you, tell me what you think?
I feel like what we saw versus Nashville from LAFC is LAFC unlocking their goal scoring problem.
Like, you think
so? Yes. I think you have Bwanga, who you expect. I mean, he won the Golden Boot last year and has been really struggling. And then you see him swarming on Nashville. You know, I think he had something like nine scoring, you know,
opportunities
that he was a part of. I think he is, whatever it was, if it was just kicking the rust off of the offseason, but he's unlocked himself. But also, I think to dismantle a team like Nashville, which has historically been over the last few seasons, like one of the top defenses in the league, 5-0 is at, you know, that's concerning. So, you know, LAFC exposed Nashville. Like, when they tried to run, you know, the counter and tried to press, it's like LAFC just exposed that, you know, and took advantage of it. When they were getting annihilated and started to sit back more, you know, in a deep block, like, they picked them apart on that. The game was over way before they hit the fifth goal, and they just kept scoring on them. And it was just, there was nothing Nashville could do.
Yeah.
And so
I also think, that's concerning. Thing, right? It's a matchup thing. There's times that, like, you just have the right matchup for a team.
For sure. Yeah.
There's also maybe Dennis Bwanga that day woke up in a great mood and was just like, I'm scoring 5 today. I'm going to do everything by myself. There's also days that you wake up and you're just not ready for the game.
Could be. I want to share some interesting stats.
All right. We have our stats guru doing it.
You guys know that I'm not a stats guy. And I did not come up with this for my own research. I was reading on Backheeled and just kind of stumbled upon these stats. And these are about LAFC. This is why I'm concerned about Saturday. Only St. Louis City, DC United, and Minnesota have shorter sequence times in possession. Okay? Only St. Louis City and DC have fewer passes in possession. Only St. Louis has a faster direct speed towards a goal. So what that tells you is that LAFC, who was already pretty quick last year in 2023 when they were a legit scary team, they are faster than they were last year. That is scary to me when we look at some of the defensive breakdowns that we've had. When you look at game one versus Portland with Keegan,
game two with getting Keegan. Burned.
Yep, game two with Keegan. You look at Saturday, given there's, you know, whatever, take Maxu out of it. Obviously, he wasn't there because he's on the ground. But you just look at the speed with which that broke down. There are concerns for dropping back to cover speed on counter and both in possession as well. And that's why I think Bombi being back is so critical for Saturday. I think Bombi and Sam Vines are going to be super important for Saturday because of this speed that we're seeing with LAFC. Have they been scoring goals before Saturday? No, but they're doing all of the other things, you know, and that's, we're not scoring goals, but we're also not doing the other things. We're struggling a little bit.
What if I told you the Rapids are top 10 in XG, expected XG?
I would be surprised to hear that.
They're top 10. Like,
consider me surprised.
This is the thing. Like, this is what I mean. Like, I don't feel like they're that off. The one difference is that they have a guy that they know is a proven goal scorer and can go out there and get you a few games. One goal will change a whole game.
Sure.
Right? Like, after one goal, the way you play a game changes completely. And that's what happened. I feel like that happened on Saturday. Nashville tried to do more than they had to and not just look for the tie, but they were, like, going all in. They ended up losing 5-0. And then when you have a guy like Dennis Bwanga, who has been proven in the MLS, it's just going to be a shit show. And that's the thing that the Rapids lack. They lack that one opening goal that can change the momentum of the game, and then they can go it. And then Rafa is not a proven goal scorer that can dominate a game once the momentum has changed. And that's one of the reasons I feel like they're a similar squad in a lot of places. They're very, like, talent level-wise, I feel like they're very similar all the way through, except for
LAFC
Dennis Bwanga.
And Rapids.
Yes.
Wow.
They're, the one thing I will say, LAFC players get a little bit more hype and credit than they deserve because they're in LAFC. So they get a little bit more of that leeway. Because, again, look at...
But they've also won MLS Cup. They're perennial, like, playoff contenders.
But they've lost a lot of those players. And they've grown older, too. Like, they've lost a lot of their key players. Like,
that's true.
They've also... A lot of the players that were key players have gotten older. Point. Like, I'm not looking at this team as who they were or who they've been. I'm looking at what they have done so far this season. They only have one more win than the Rapids. They also lost 3-0 against Real Salt Lake, just like the Rapids.
In the snow.
But it's still a loss. Like, regardless, yeah, like, it should.
I think that's different.
I don't think it's that different for the reason that.
Come on, man. You've been to a snow game.
I have. But, like, my thing is, it shouldn't be. If Comunicaciones can come to the Rapids and play in that weather, again, like, from Guatemala, like, worse, nicer weather than LAFC, closer to the equator, hotter, and can come here and get a 1-0 loss, you should not be losing 3-0. My thing is, you could lose that game. I'm not saying you should win it. Like, I don't think it should have been a
3-0. I'm not defending LAFC. You know, I can't stand Salt Lake, but I loved watching them beat LAFC. And LAFC cry about it? Love that.
I would have rather.
Injected into my veins.
I would have rather LAFC won than RSL.
I love LAFC crying about it. It was great.
But here, but again, regardless, that's another point. But, like, this is what I mean. I just feel like the Rapids have a... I feel like LAFC gets more credit than they deserve. I also feel like this last game has put a lot of panic into Rapids fans, which I don't think they should have. And I don't think it's going to be a dominating win from LAFC, but I also don't think it's going to be an inspiring game from the Rapids. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what's your prediction?
I'm going to say a 2-1 loss.
2-1 loss?
I think Mihailovic finally scores.
Okay. I'm struggling between 3-0 or 3-1 loss.
I think 3-1 is fair. They haven't scored a goal at home yet.
Man, all right. I'll go 3-1. LAFC wins, and I mean, who do you even pick to score at this point? Maybe it is. I'm gonna go Cole Bassett. It's probably a free kick.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay, I see that.
It's going to be a set piece because I'm not convinced we can score a goal in open play yet.
Yeah, for sure. That works for me. That will wrap it up for today, guys. It's 10:30. We got things to do. We have real jobs. scratch what I said earlier. We actually do have to work. Give this video a thumbs up. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We really appreciate it. Give us a like. We really appreciate likes. Tell me you like me.
I know I do.
Follow us on DNVR_Rapids on Twitter and give us a 5-star review wherever you hear this podcast, whether it be Apple, Spotify, Google, anything. Just please give us a give us a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate it. Dwayne, anything else to add?
Great time to come to Denver Diehard. Lots of events coming up. We've got some takeovers coming with Rapids, but also it's coming up playoff time for the Avs and the Nuggets, both who are looking very, very good right now. It brings you discounts at the bar with your bar tab if you want to come watch playoff action here in the bar. If you want discounts on those takeovers and jumping to DNVR, jumping on the bus with us and heading over to the Dick to watch some soccer, merch discounts, all those things, excellent time to become a DMVR diehard. You can jump on the website and do that today.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks very much for tuning in. We appreciate it. And you know how we always end the shows? I'm going to do my best Mitch impersonation.
Let's hear it.
Up the PIDs. Y'all silly like the mayor.